Welcome to Penikai Neighbourhood Church Weekly Podcast. To find out more about us, or to listen to other podcasts, please explore our website, nazarene.co.uk.
So good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm Hugh. So as you've already heard, the theme of our service today is going to be grace. But what kind of grace do we associate with Jesus? When I googled the term grace, I came across three main definitions. The first one is grace as the smoothness and elegance of movement, otherwise known as being graceful. Now, if we look at Jesus' life, do we see this type of grace about him? I'm sure as a perfect human being, he would have walked quite gracefully usually. But when we look at his walk to Golgotha, to the cross, after being beaten with the weight of the cross on his back and a crown of thorns on his head, it's not this type of grace we see. So if it's not this type of grace, if it's not elegance of movement we see with Jesus, but pain and stumbling, it can't be this grace, can it? The second definition was grace is courteous goodwill, or to be gracious. Now, Jesus was always of goodwill, of course, but courteous is a different story. At the temple, Jesus drives out those who are selling goods and says, "It is written, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Jesus was right to do this, as he states when he quotes the scripture, but he didn't do it in a courteous way. Tossing tables and calling people robbers in the temple would have ruffled quite a bit of feathers, I'm sure. Therefore, it isn't this type of grace either that we most associate with Jesus. And lastly, grace as in to bring honour to oneself by one's presence in a place, as we can see with the Queen. So a newspaper might write, "The Queen of England graced the streets of Windsor on Saturday afternoon with her presence." So by being somewhere, you're making yourself more important and more special. But then, when we look at Jesus' life, we see him all through the Gospels living a humble life in reverence, even like, for instance, when he walks into Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a magnificent horse, and washing the feet of his disciples. So, if it's not this grace either, then what type of grace are we going to talk about this morning? Well, the grace of God is a completely different kind of grace. The grace of God is his favor to us in Jesus Christ. And the favor is this, that God has chosen to give us a favor that we haven't done anything to deserve, and we cannot do anything to return the favor to God. And if Alad would like to come up to do the reading this morning. Thank you. The reading is going to be from Mark 15, verses 33-39.
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone, let's see if Elijah comes back to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God."
Thank you, Alad. In verse 37, we see the favour, the grace, the payment, the death Jesus suffered on our behalf. You see, we were lost, as Keith said in our New Year's Eve service. We lost our connection to God. In their sin, Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, out of the presence of God. And in the same way, we were separate from God in our sin and disobedience. But the favor of God is this, that he sent Jesus to re-establish the connection between us and God through his death and resurrection. Re-establish this connection through his death on the cross. In verse 38, the moment Jesus breathed his last, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The barrier had been broken between us and God. The connection re-established. Jesus made a way, the only way. From top to bottom, the curtain was torn. like Jesus came down from heaven to earth and brought our relationship with God back with him. But how was this possible? The centurion in verse 39 realized quite quickly how it was possible. We can only understand how this grace was fulfilled when we understand who Jesus is. Surely this man was the Son of God and is today the Son of God. We see God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And who is Jesus? Jesus was the Son. So therefore, Jesus is God. He is a part of the Holy Trinity. Only in the fullness of human being and God can this act of grace was made possible. Without being human, Jesus couldn't have died and therefore couldn't have made payments on our behalf. But without being God, the payment would have been worthless and no victory would have been won through his resurrection. Therefore, there is ultimate power in the name of Jesus because he was himself God. Make no mistake, this wasn't a walk in the park for Jesus. The gift of grace was given with certainty, yes, but it was not given with ease. God gave his only begotten Son over to death in this grace. Not only this, but forced him to forsake Jesus in his highest point of suffering on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? God truly looked away while his Son was dying on the cross. As a complete holy being, God cannot look upon sin, and so could not look upon Jesus, as he held the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders. Jesus was banished from the presence of God, his dad. Jesus died on the cross. He wasn't sleeping, he wasn't dormant. He was dead, he was truly dead. And that Saturday, between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the one we don't seem to pay much attention to, was likely the busiest and most hard-working day in heaven and of God's eternal life, as his Son Jesus went down into the depths of hell. And on Sunday, he kicked down the gates of hell from the inside out and defeated death itself once and for all. Jesus suffered through all of our judgment and death, so we would no longer have to fear death, because it is through this grace that we have been saved. But why? Why was this grace given to us? This mess certainly wasn't Jesus' fault. Our mistakes are responsibility, surely. Yes, but Jesus chose to take our punishment. And there's only one thing that can spur someone on to do such a thing. We read in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world. He didn't just love us. He so loved us. He loved us so much that he was willing to do anything to bring us back to him. Grace and love come hand in hand. But I think this is where we can often underestimate the power of Jesus. All those who were standing around thought it was the nails that was keeping Jesus on the cross. We read in verse 36 that they say, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down." But it wasn't the nails that was keeping him there. There's a danger today that we think that it was our sin that kept Jesus on the cross. But it wasn't the nails and it wasn't our sin. It was his love that kept him there on the cross. Grace, where something is expected in return, simply isn't grace. Grace, if only given to the deserving, isn't grace. The simple fact is that grace isn't fair. Grace is love. And so we thank God that his love isn't fair, but is reckless. For if he was fair, Jesus wouldn't have died for my sin. Jesus wouldn't have died for our sins. Which brings us to, for who? For who was this grace given to? Who did Jesus die for? Hebrews 12:15 tells us to see to it that no one misses the grace of God. Therefore, if no one should miss the grace of God, that means that the grace of God is for everyone. Whether we choose to accept this grace or not is a different story. But God has given his grace to everyone with no exceptions. We don't have a cap on our grace. There is no limit to God's love and neither to his grace. Whatever we do, no matter how much we sin, no matter how many people will have lived on the earth, his grace is sufficient for us. Jesus paid way more than was needed. He only needed to balance us out. He only needed to balance us out. But his grace goes further and beyond and goes way more than what was needed. If the children would like to come up, I'd like to use some volunteers. Yeah. What is this noise? If you stand at the front, get a pack of Haribos.
We're going to do some like magic tricks so it makes them disappear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Don't open them yet. And we all stand here facing the front. Oh, there's more. There's more.
Oh, I gave someone more.
Oh, there we go. You're not meant to do that yet. So I'll stand here facing the front. Now, what would happen if I came and I stole JJ sweets? And I'd eat JJ sweets? I mean, not yet, not yet. Now, that wouldn't be very nice now, would it? No. But then Johan comes along and you think, oh, JJ hasn't got any sweets now, but JJ's my friend, so I'll give JJ my sweets, all of my sweets. Think, oh, that's very kind. You made the sacrifice for you. Oh, wow, this is full of grace this morning. Oh, wow, now. But no, instead, Johan goes, sells everything he's got, and buys JJ a Haribo shop. That's way more sweets than you'll ever need, JJ, I think. More than a lifetime supply. But Johan loves you so much as a friend, that's what he's willing to do. Yes, I think they are. They do exist, yeah. And this is like what Jesus did for us. He only needed to give us... You can go now. Sorry, I can... Here you go. Here you go. He only needed to do what was needed, but no, he went further. He went above and beyond. His grace was more than sufficient for us. And lastly, when is this grace valid? It wasn't just a moment. It wasn't just for those 3 hours on the cross, or those 3 days when he was in the grave. 2 Timothy 1:9 tells us, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Before God created the earth, before he created time, he chose to love us. It's hard for us to comprehend today, but in a way, Jesus had always died for us. God is not bound by time. He's the same today, yesterday and tomorrow. Therefore, so is his grace. He knew we were going to mess up. He knew that we'd be failures from the beginning, and he knew what he would have to do to bring us back to him. But he created us anyway. He loved us anyway. So therefore, the grace is eternal. It lasts forever. And that's the good news this morning. And on this thought, John announced in the last verse of the whole Bible in Revelation 22:21, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Can we say that together? The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. 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 Thank you.